teleconference season. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us as we begin another important season of discussions surrounding the management and future of Yukon River salmon. My name is Serena Alstrom, Executive Director of the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, and it is my pleasure to serve you as your host for this teleconference season. And I do apologize in advance. I do have a spring cold going on, so you're going to have to endure my raspy voice for an hour or so. These calls are held every Tuesday from June through the end of August throughout the season. We'll provide updates on Yukon River salmon run assessments, environmental conditions, research and monitoring efforts, ongoing management activities. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all new participants joining us today. We also encourage young fishers to participate in these calls to learn, engage, and become involved in Yukon River fisheries issues and management. These teleconferences provide an important opportunity for people from across the Yukon River to share observations, concerns, and local conditions. We encourage fishermen, tribal representatives, researchers, managers, and community members to actively participate. Your knowledge and experience help build a broader understanding of the challenges facing our salmon and river communities. We would also like to thank our funding partners, the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission and the TANNA Chiefs Conference, for their continued support in making these calls possible. For years, these teleconferences have served as a communication bridge between local users and fishery managers across the 2,200 miles of the Yukon River. As salmon declines and changing river conditions continue to affect our communities, the need for open communication remains critical. However, the challenges we face today require more than information sharing alone. They require collaboration, problem solving, and action. Our goal is to ensure these calls remain a platform for meaningful discussion, actionable feedback, and collaborative solutions that can be shared with management agencies, organizations, and decision makers. By working together, we can identify practical opportunities to improve fishery management and support the long-term health of Yukon River salmon. As we move through the 2026 season, I ask that all participants be respectful of one another. This is a space for constructive dialogue and shared learning. By listening to and supporting one another, we can foster productive conversations that benefit our fisheries and our communities. Kayana Jaknak, for all your time, participation, and commitment to the Yukon River. The Yerdfa in-season subsistence salmon survey will be starting soon, and we want to thank the National Park Service and NOAA for funding the program. This year, the surveyors will be using a digital app version, and hopefully we'll be making it available to the public soon. We will update you when it is ready to download from the App Store. We want to encourage fishers in the in-season survey communities to reach out to their local surveyor and share what they are seeing on the river. This program is a way for fishers to anonymously share their observations as well as their concerns or challenges with the managers and the rest of the river. The in-season survey communities include Alaknak, Mountain Village, Marshall, Russian Mission, Anvik, Huslia, Ruby, Tanana, Fort Yukon, and Eagle. I'd also like to provide some housekeeping before we get started. Please press *6 to mute and unmute your line. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press *6 to mute and unmute. Background noise and conversations are disruptive to callers who are sharing important information. Since this is our first call today, the order we will go in is we'll have, I will ask if there's any media or government representatives online. We will then ask the ADF&G Yukon area managers to provide an update along with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife managers, and then it will be followed by the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada and organizational reports from the Yukon River and Tribal Fish Commission, VVAYK, CYN, YSCC, and any announcements from our organization, which is YRTFA. Then we will proceed with the community reports. I'll be calling by fishing district, and I'll be naming those communities in those fishing districts. And please remember to press *6 to mute and unmute your line. Then we will open it up for any additional questions or discussion, and we will end our call. So let us get started. Do we have any media on the line today?
I'm here. I'm online on the Tobo Bridge.
I'm sorry? Can you repeat that? Can you repeat your name and who you are with?
Sorry, my name is Andre. I'm with Pymeet, Native Village of Pymeet, out in Hooper Bay.
Okay, I was asking for any media, KYUK or radio stations that are on the line. Okay, hearing none, do we have any of our government representatives or staff members on the call?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Aaron Tiernan with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Arctic Yukon, Kuskokwim Regional Management Coordinator.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Mr. Rita?
Yes.
John Lamont, Yukon Panels, Alternate Member Y1.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Okay, we'll move on to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Do we have Dina on the line?
Hi, yes, Serena. This is Dina John with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Yukon River Summer Season Manager, and I'm here with Mike Parker. And I can just give a really brief update. So far, we just got to Amonik yesterday. We're getting the Amonik office set up. We don't have any of our phones in the office operational, so nobody can call the 949-1320 number that hasn't gotten fully connected yet. But folks can reach us online or through email. The toll-free fishing schedule is being updated whenever news releases go out, and that number is 1-866-479-7387. We've also been putting the advisory announcements as posts on Facebook, and so those will get distributed through there, or if you're subscribed to the news releases, you'll get them in your email inbox. For projects, crew is on site up at St. Mary's and Pilot Station trying to get the sonar camp set up for the Pilot Station sonar. They had high water this spring due to flooding, and so some of their boats are out of commission, so they're a few days behind in getting the sonar project up and running, but they are on site and working towards that. Down here in Amonik, the Lower Yukon Test Fishery is going to be getting rolling here. It's being we're transitioning the operations of that project a little more fully over to YDFDA. They've been doing the summer season fishing the last couple of years, and they're going to be doing the fishing and collecting scales for ASL this season as well. And so operations down here in Amonik might look a little bit different for that project, but we've got a we'll just be kind of working through that and transitioning that project as we go through the season. We will be transitioning to collecting more scales from Chum Salmon up at Pilot Station Sonar. There's more representative mesh sizes up there to get a better distribution of sizes and ages of Chum. So that'll be where the focus for Chum ASL goes as we kind of transition out of doing the full kind of YDFDA or Lower Yukon Test Fishery project down here. For management actions, so far fishery closures have been announced for the coastal district and districts 1, 2, and 3 in the Anoka River. The coast in District 1 closed last night at 8 p.m., and then District 2 will close tomorrow at 8, and then District 3 in the Anoka will close on June 7th and June 9th. And folks can call that toll-free number anytime to get an update for their area. During the salmon closures, people can still keep fishing with 4-inch or smaller mesh gill nets for non-salmon species, and you can also hopefully get some pink salmon this year on an even year and maybe some sockeye salmon. And you can use all the other gear types as well, like hook and line, dip nets, and beach seines. But you must let all Chinook and summer chum salmon go. The runs this year are expected to be low, similar to the in size of last year, and we don't expect to meet escapement goals, unfortunately, for salmon. So if folks can let them go spawn, that would be that'd be really great for them to be able to get up river as many as possible. With that, I think that's about all I've got for an update without having any projects in the water. But yeah, if any other fishing game staff want to add anything on, that would be great. Otherwise, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Dina. We'll move on to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Yukon Area Manager. Do we have Holly or any of her staff online today?
Hi, Serena. Can you hear me? This is Keith.
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Keith.
Hi, everyone. My name is Keith Heron. I'm the Assistant Federal Manager for the Yukon Salmon. And we have also announced closures in federal waters, the same ones that Dina mentioned for the coastal district up through District 3. So those closures were for all users in federal public waters. And then the districts further upriver can expect closures to be announced soon in their areas. These closures are based on expected travel timing of the salmon in those areas. And these early season closures are very important to protect every salmon this year. We do expect really low runs of both Chinook and summer chum. So even though we don't have our assessment projects quite up and running, these closures are based on historical timing and historical catches of salmon. So it's really important that these closures are in place early in the season to protect the low runs we expect. But I do really look forward to hearing the community reports and the river conditions later in the call. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Keith. We will move on to the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Do we have anyone online?
Good afternoon, Serena. This is Jacqueline Kendall. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Okay, great. Thank you. I think what we'll do is we'll start with a bit of a stock assessment and environmental conditions update. So I'm going to pass it over first to Adam O'Dell with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and then I will follow after with a bit of a brief Canadian management update. So, Adam, on to you.
Yeah, thanks, Jacqueline. So my name is Adam O'Dell. I'm the senior fisheries biologist with Fisheries and Oceans Canada and Whitehorse. So our season, it's really not even the beginning quite yet. So this is going to be a pretty brief update, just more of an overview of what exactly we intend to accomplish in the next couple of weeks as some of our programs ramp up. But we continue to prepare for the upcoming field season. We're aiming to begin our own field camp mobilization on the Porcupine River, beginning that on June 19th with the intention of having the sonar program operational by July 1st. Again, as a refresher, the Porcupine Sonar, this is a camp. This is located in the upper portion of the Yukon River watershed in Canada. It's about 2 kilometers downstream of the community of Old Crow. And then similarly, we have some technicians who are planning to meet Alaska Department of Fish and Game staff in Eagle, Alaska on June 26th, and this is to begin the mobilization of the Eagle sonar camp. About 30 kilometers downstream of the U.S. and Canada border. There's numerous other projects that are gearing up for operation this season run by Yukon First Nations. I don't know that I'll need to touch on any of these, and I'm sure there's potentially some folks online here that could even speak to those specifically. But as those come online, we can provide updates, likely coming online beginning of July, I suspect, and then through the month of July. In addition to this, we are proceeding once again this year with a Chinook radio telemetry program. Alaska Department of Fish and Game is planning to take these fish a little further upstream, quite a ways further upstream this year, and we will one of our staff and a couple other folks are going to be heading out later this week to start the installation and mobilization of some of the remote tower setups that are going to be tracking these fishes' movement into Canada. So that's the stock assessment update. I have a very quick blurb here for environmental conditions. It's been a long time since we were on these calls again, so obviously it could go in many different directions, but just a quick overview here. I feel like I'm going back too far, but it was a very, very cold winter, as I'm sure many of you experienced, with plenty of snow across much of the Yukon territory. The latest snow bulletin, Yukon government puts out snow bulletins, found that as of May 1st, the entire territory was above or well above the normal snowpack levels. And May turned out to be a relatively cooler month, so that slowed the spring freshet, and much of the snow does remain in the mountains. So this has caused, the slow of melt has caused some of the rivers to hit their lowest recorded levels as of June 1st, while others have receded during this period of typical melt. But high temperatures, I mean, today it's about, I think it's 22 or 23 degrees Celsius. It's quite warm. So these high temperatures we're going to experience this week are likely, they will increase the melt and subsequent water levels associated with that. But all flood and ice advisories that had been issued in early May, those are now over. So it appears as though those shouldn't be concerned this season, at least as of yet. And that rounds out my update. I can pass along to Jacqueline to provide the management update. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Adam. So yeah, as noted, I'll jump in with just a bit of a brief Canadian management update. So right now we're working to finalize the 2026 Canadian management strategy, aiming for the end of the month and before the arrival of the first Chinook salmon at the border. So this management strategy, we refer to it as the Integrated Fisheries Management Plan. And again, this year it's going to be heavily informed by the 7-year Canadian origin Yukon River Chinook Salmon Agreement, as well as with any recommendations from the Yukon Salmon Subcommittee that have resulted from consultations with Yukon First Nation governments and community members. But based on the information so far in terms of the expectation for Canadian origin Chinook, The outlook is very low, and in line with the measures in the 7-year agreement, we will be closing the recreational fishery, and the current closures in the commercial and domestic fisheries will remain in effect. So other than that, right now we'll be working over the coming weeks to set up domestic intergovernmental in-season conference calls, and those are used as a mechanism to share updates on information collected by the assessment programs that will be coming online, as Adam noted, in July, and we'll run those over the course of the season. So just a bit of a brief update today, Serena. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Jacqueline and Adam. We will move on to the organizational reports. Do we have anyone from the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission online? Do we have anyone from the BBAYK group online?
Hi, Serena. This is Karen Gillis.
Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for having me today. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Karen Gillis. I work for Bering Sea Fishermen's Association. And the BBAYK group that Serena referenced is an opportunity for residents and individuals that work for organizations in the Bristol Bay, Arctic, Yukon, Kuskokwim region to come together and talk about concerns, activities, you know, leaning in with questions or ideas about future engagement on any fishery-related issue within those regions. We meet every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. The invitation is for, again, people who live in the region. So this doesn't include state or federal managers or any kind of agency staff. It's just for residents and just for organizations that serve these communities. So my update today is focused on what's happened since the South Peninsula Board of Fisheries meeting in February. Many of you may know that the Board of Fisheries moved forward regulations to limit the area and fishery in the month of June per the request and pleas of residents from around the AYK regions. It was a close vote. The vote tally ended up being 4-3 in the end for roughly 30% reduction, and this was targeted just on the area and fishery for the June fishery that starts this week. And so we were pretty pleased with this board action. After the Board of Fisheries meeting, Area M fishermen, the Aleutians East Borough, and others filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office claiming that Kurt Chamberlain had a perceived conflict of interest at the meeting and asked for an investigation. They didn't hear back from the Attorney General's office, and so they filed a lawsuit against the state of Alaska and Department of Fish and Game. This was in early April. After some long conversations and discussions with people around the region, Bering Sea Fishermen's Association filed a motion to be an intervener in the case, which means we wanted to be on the side of the state of Alaska and the Department of Fish and Game in order to help them or collaborate with them to defend the decisions of the Board of Fisheries that were made in February. We filed that motion to intervene on May 14th. By May 19th, there were lots of rumors that the state of Alaska was going to sidestep the legal process and give the Area M fishermen and the Aleutians East Borough what they were asking for, which was to overturn the regulations. There were five proposals that were overturned eventually. But the state of Alaska basically gave in to the Aleutians East Borough and Area M fishermen, overturned five regulations in a letter that they sent to Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom on May 20th. There was no reason given for this determination. Subsequently, we've been told that there may be an ethics violation. However, no information has been made public, which is sort of antithetical or, the opposite of what you'd expect from the Attorney General's office when making a final determination. Those records are supposed to be released to the public. But so on May 20th, the state of Alaska and Department of Fish and Game gave Aleutians East Borough and Area M fishermen what they wanted. The Area M fishermen and Aleutians East Borough filed a motion to dismiss their case because basically they didn't need to go to court anymore. And by Friday, May 22nd, which was the deadline for the judge to determine whether BSFA could be an intervener, the case was dismissed. So we didn't get a chance to participate in the legal process because we believe the state acted unlawfully and sort of behind closed doors to make this decision and reverse the Board of Fisheries regulations. There's no one I've talked to in the state of Alaska, previous attorneys, other judges, longtime Board of Fisheries members from the past. Even United Fishermen of Alaska say that this has never in the history of Alaska happened before. So it's quite unprecedented that the board would, or the Attorney General's office would you know, unilaterally reverse decisions that the Board of Fisheries had voted on and moved forward. But just as an update for everyone, you know, Area M gets to revert back to their adaptive management plan, which is a plan that maintains zero transparency for anyone outside of Area M. And they get to start fishing, I believe it's June 6th, so without any restrictions other than what maybe the adaptive management plan could possibly put on fishermen, but I don't expect there to be any. So I think that's my update, Serena, unless people have questions.
I'll go ahead and open up the floor for questions at this time. Just a reminder to press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
Serena?
I guess that's, oh, go ahead.
Yes, John, go ahead.
Yeah. Question for Karen. Thank you, Karen, for that update. Really appreciate it. And do you feel that there's any, I guess I can get on your Thursday morning meetings from now on if I'm allowed to. I don't actually abode out in a village right now. But I really appreciate that update. And I think there's other concerns that we on the river and all over throughout the state have regarding that decision the Attorney General's office has made. Thank you, Karen, and thank you, Serena.
Thank you, John. Yeah, we'd love to have you on those Thursday morning calls. I guess sort of as an update, I think the next step, if there's an organization sort of willing to step into this role, and I know we're contemplating it, but we haven't decided yet. The next step would be to sue the state of Alaska for unlawfully overturning Board of Fisheries regulations that, you know, were in place, were advised by the Department of Law members who were at the Board of Fisheries meeting that, you know, there were no conflicts of interest, that there were no ethics concerns. In addition to the fact that while they maintain that their determination doesn't sound like there's been an actual investigation, but because if there was an investigation, they would have to make that public at the beginning of the investigation, which they didn't do. So this is really an internal determination as far as we can tell, but that they still haven't made any of the documents public is very concerning. We believe they don't have a legal standing, and so we are hoping that there's a group or a number of groups who might come together to sue the state of Alaska over this decision, but it won't change how Area M prosecutes its fishery, you know, this month. The Board of Fisheries is expected to meet again to discuss these proposals, but also, you know, sometime in the future, and we'll see how that all plays out. But if anybody has any questions or, you know, thinks later they want to weigh in, my phone number is area code 907-887-1148. And my email address is Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at bsfaak.org. So the acronym basically stands for Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, Alaska, AK.org. So please reach out if you have any questions or would like to discuss this further. Thank you so much, Serena, for the opportunity to contribute today.
Thank you, Karen. I really appreciate it. The next organization CFYN, is there anyone online? Elizabeth McDonald, are you online? Do we have anyone from the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council online? Do we have anyone from the Yukon Salmon Subcommittee online? Okay, before we get into the community reports, I'd just like to make a couple announcements that YRTFA will be starting their biotechnician training camp in St. Monica, June 10th through the 18th. We have a good group of participants that will be joining us, and a good group of instructors as well. And YRTFA will also be hosting the educational exchange this year. Six Canadians will be traveling to Emonic and St. Mary's and Pilot Station June 23rd through the 29th. And please keep an eye on our social media as we'll be posting videos and updates during that time. We'll move into our community reports. I'll be calling by district. I'll be naming those communities in that district. So if you have anything to share, please press star 6 to mute and unmute. We'll start with the coastal communities of Chivac, Cooper Bay, and Scamming Bay. Again, calling anybody from the coastal communities of Chivac, Cooper Bay, and Scammon Bay. Okay, we'll move into District Y1. Do we have anyone from Nunam, Alohanuk, Imanuk, or Kotlik on the line? I know this is the first call, but don't be shy. We'll move into District Y2, Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's, Pilot Station, and Marshall. Again, press star 6 to mute and unmute. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to unmute your line.
Karina?
Yes.
Francis here.
Okay, go ahead, Francis.
The water dropped like 5 feet, and it's still dropping. Still a lot of high water, a lot of wood out there. People are busily gathering wood, thinking about the $15 a gallon heating fuel possible this winter. After the first part, so that'll be interesting. Folks on the Andruski and out here, Yukon are pushing for cheapest. And there's lots in the industry right now. So folks are trying to get what they can with large mesquite that they have available, 7.5 and less. Getting warm out. Finally having a couple of days of good sunshiny weather. If you look at the weather forecast for the next 10 days, we're going to be having northwesterly winds, and that's going to be happening most probably, looking at the forecast, until the 15th, of this month when we finally have west wind. And we all know that salmon are wind-driven. And currently haven't heard anyone catching salmon in District 1 area, Lower River. If anybody does, we'll hear about it, but none so far. And they just issued a closure yesterday for District 1, and everybody probably switched over to the 4-inch. I was wondering if by emergency order that large muskier continue until those folks, until someone, either the test fishery or us, we hear that someone catch a salmon to pull up and switch over to 4-inch. I know extending large muskier other than 4-inch has the possibility of catching a chum, but like I mentioned, a lot of folks are catching chiefish and pikes, and in a sense, there's a large out-migration of smolts right now, so the more chiefish and pikes we pull out, the more smolts they be. So I don't know if that's possible, but I think giving folks opportunity with large muskier would kind of benefit in a way. Unknowingly, but yes, a little bit early to be on 4-inch right now with no salmon on the river. I hope
hey,
they
Francis.
Consider it.
Hey, Francis, this is Dean with Fishing Game. Yeah, thanks very much for all your comments, and those are some good suggestions, and we'll definitely consider, we can talk about that with Keith and just some of the management considerations. Yeah, unfortunately, we do base the closures based on average time of when kings start to come in and kind of tie that to when the very first kings start to come in just to protect the whole of that run. There's at least one climate model that looks at sea ice and temperatures up in Nome. And based on that model, that's predicting an average timing of Chinook to enter. So we haven't heard of any catches, and I know folks aren't out with the high water and with the drifts, and so it's yeah, we haven't heard of any salmon, but they might be coming in with average time. We just don't know yet, unfortunately. But, yeah, thanks for those suggestions. I guess remind folks that they can still use their 4-inch or smaller mesh nets even after the salmon closures go into place. You can also use beach seines and dip nets and hook and line gear. There's any areas that are that those gear would also work for sheathfish as well. Those gears will stay open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at least until the quarter point of the Chinook salmon run is coming in. But, yeah, thanks for those suggestions. Definitely appreciate hearing it.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. Like I mentioned, there's no fresh salmon on the river yet, so, and we're reduced down to 4-inch.
Do we have anyone else from District Y2, Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's, Pilot Station, and Marshall? Just a reminder, press star 6 to unmute. And if you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to unmute.
Hey, Serena, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Sven.
Yeah, it's been here. Water's high here in St. Mary's, up to Andersky too as well. I just called in here. I wasn't sure what you guys are asking about.
There, Francis made a comment about no salmon reported in the river yet with people fishing 4-inch.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I had a strip net Saturday, I believe it was, We caught nothing but chief fish. Had a couple of whitefish, short subsistence nets out. Whitefish, pike, chief fish, no salmon, no reports of salmon.
Great, thank you. Do we have anyone else from District 12, Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's, Pilot Station, and Marshall? Okay, moving on to District Y3. Do we have anyone from Russian Mission, Holy Cross, or Shagluk? Moving on to District Y4A, Anvik, Reeling,
Calgary.
Yes, who is that?
Yeah, this is David Walker, Holy Cross.
Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, we went through quite a hard time. The flood is still not over with. You know, a lot of people, there was like 9 homes suffering from damages. And we just got the surveys done for the Red Cross. But, yeah, there's a lot of damage. A lot of people, the ones who were directly affected didn't have time to, water came up so fast, they didn't have time to move hardly anything in their homes. And so, yeah, it's a hard time right now. The water dropped to about 7 feet. And there's, people are just kind of relaxing now, not thinking about fishing. There was a lot of smokehouses damaged, and so I don't know. It's pretty. The good thing is there's no drift logs, but all the logs came down with the ice, so there's a lot of wood along the banks that the ice dropped. And, yeah, that was first time we've seen that kind of power in Mother Nature in a long time, that the ice bulldozed the willows back like 150 feet or more. And some of those willows were like 3 or 4 inches. And, one morning, the historical high water mark was right at the historical mark, the water was. And we were with our planes for 1 week. And so we're thankful the water went down and they were able to fix the runway to get it back up and running again. So it's sad to hear there's opposition on that area. A decision was made, and I don't know. I hate to be sound bleak, but it sounds pretty rough for next. I don't know how long with the oil prices. And so thank you for your first meeting. I don't know, we're hanging in there though.
Thank you, David, for calling in. We will continue with District Y4A, Anvik, Grayling, Caltag, Nalato, and Kaikuk. Just a reminder to press *6 to unmute your line, and if you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press *6 to unmute. Again, calling on District Y4A, Anvik, Grayling, Caltag, Nalato, and Kayakuk. Okay, we'll go up the Kayakuk River. Do we have anyone from Huslia, Hughes, Alakakip, Alatna, Bettles? Sounds like someone's unmuted, but I cannot hear anything. Okay, we'll move. Looks like someone's trying to talk, but I cannot hear. All I can hear is static. Okay, we'll move on to District Y4 ANC, Galena and Ruby. Okay, we'll move on to District Y5, Tanana, Rampart, Yukon River Bridge, Rapids, Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chalkeetsik, Vinitai, Arctic Village, Circle, and Eagle. Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute. Again, District Y5, A, B, C, and D. We'll move on to District Y6, ABC, Manly, Minto, Nanana, and Fairbanks.
Victor here.
Hi, Victor. Welcome. Yeah. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to be here. Well, first of all, I'll emphasize a decision on Area M. That's pretty terrible. Any kind of involvement with that, with Sharon and all of them that are us, our Panacheese, to react on that, it's not a good deal. Anyway, we'll have to address that. But to the guy down there, there's two double disasters with that going on, and the flood, and then the no fish coming up. My thoughts and prayers are with them down there. Not going too good for us. Anyway, good to be back on the line, and good to hear from everybody, but no fish nowhere, nor at this moment. I guess I came a little late, so I missed a very early report. I just don't sound like there was no fish sightings. One more question I got in the area M. During that period where we did have the cutback of the month, how many, do the fishing game have any idea how many rivers the fish go through as they go through there? Where they, the Yukon River, Kuskokwim River, up by North Kotzebue, or the fish that go up the Yama and all that area? is the Yukon River, of all the rivers, Yukon River, the fish travel, over 2,000 miles. They must look a little different, like a little healthier in their cough or something. Anyway, I was just wondering. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Victor. I'll throw that question over to ADF&G staff. Anyone would like to answer his question?
I think I can take a stab at it, Tarina. This is Aaron.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, so, Victor, I hope this addresses your questions. If not, pipe up after I'm done and further clarify. But so Area M, there are a handful of genetic reports genetic studies that were done from the harvest in that fishery. Those can be found on on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game webpage. But through those studies, we've determined that, you know, the harvest of fish in Area M within the June fishery, those fish are headed a lot of different rivers. These for chum, those are grouped in coastal western Alaska as the genetic grouping, and that includes everything from Bristol Bay north through Norton Sound. And then there's a separate component up in Kotzebue. Those fish have been found in the harvest down in the June portion of the Area M fishery, but in smaller numbers. And then for Kings, it's kind of the same deal. Fish that are bound for every single river or stream that flows into the Bering Sea have kind of been found there from Bristol Bay all the way up through Norton Sound. So it is a lot of different stocks that do get harvested there. And then if you want further numbers and percentages of specific, you know, rivers and whatnot, I'd point you to ADF&G webpage, or if you'd like to reach out to either Dean or Matt or myself via telephone, we can help maybe get you those reports in one way or the other. So I hope that addresses the question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Victor. Good to hear you. We will move on. Or do we have anyone else from District Y6? Manly, Mintonia, Nano, or Fairbanks? Just a reminder to press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. Do we have anyone else from Alaska that would like to provide any comments, observations, questions before we move on to Canada? Okay, do we have anyone from Old Crow, Dawson, White Horse, Mayo, Pelly Crossing, Carmax, or Teslin on the line?
Karina?
Francis?
Yeah, I'm going to hang up and go run and get wood. See you next Tuesday.
Okay, talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, Francis. I'll go ahead and open up the floor for any other questions, discussion. Just a reminder, press star 6 to unmute.
Victor.
Hi, Victor, go ahead.
I just wanted to say to you that I thought I was pushing for a larger mess to catch the sea fish, I believe. And then you said that would help out the small fish, the bigger fish survive. I think that's good. I think that's a good move, even though it's there's no fish in the river for what we're trying to help the salmon. They're not there yet, so makes sense. What are you saying? Makes sense. I would hope that they would allow to mess for a little while. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Victor.
Serena?
Yes, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with both Francis and Victor. You know, historically, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game used to wait actually 7 to 10 days after ice out to start doing their data reporting down at the mouth of the river. So normally the first kings that I've ever caught, and I've always set my king nets out early historically from the 70s and 80s and 90s, and I'd catch my first king within 7 days of ice out. So if the department is thinking of unrestricting mess size for sheephish and pike in the lower portions of the river and with tribal input and local historical input, I really think they should at least for a few days so people can get their sheephish. And I believe I brought this up at one of our meetings previously this spring regarding that. So with the late ice out, you know, for the long cold winter. But that's all I wanted to add, but I really appreciate Victor and Francis bringing that up. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John, for your comments as well. So just a couple announcements before we end our call. We are going to be coming out with a schedule with special presentations, well, not presentations, reports on different research projects and things that are going on the river this year. Also, I will invite the area manager to provide updates and reports on harvest for Area M. Also, a reminder for Imanek, we will have our teleconference at their hall on June 16th, so anyone's welcome to come and watch me live in person, conduct the in-season teleconference call, and then in St. Mary's on June 30th, I believe. But we will have a schedule come out. We'll be posting it on our website and on our social media platforms. So please keep an eye out. We're always providing updates. If you have any questions, please reach any one of us. If you have questions about wanting phone numbers, please reach out to me, any of my staff members, and we'll point you in the right direction. Thank you all for joining the first call of the season. We hope to have more participation next round and as the weeks go by. And so I'll have a successful summer season. Thank you.
Thank you, Serena.
Thank you.
Thank you, Serena.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Serena.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Yep, thanks, Serena. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, everyone.